Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Welcome to this Sunday. Doggone it, I hope you got up, you got out of bed, you poured yourself a cup of coffee, put the dogs out. Don't put the cats out. You put the cats out, they don't come back. They walk away. They'll be back when they want to eat, and that's it. So all you cat lovers, no more hate mail. I like dogs. Dogs are a superior animal. So what did you do? You did all that this morning. Then I ask that you do one thing right now, because this is so important. You get a paper and a pen if you're old school like me. If you're new school, get your thumbs ready, whatever, and whatever handheld device du jour that you have, and you guys take notes. And the notes I want you to take today are going to be something that you're going to do differently as a result of the time you spend listening to the show. Now, you can sit there and be entertained, laugh a little bit, but you're going to hear some things that are going to help you. That might help you in your professional career. We're going to talk about maybe some career advice or listen to something that our guest has to say today that might help you along in your career. Might help you avoid a pitfall or help you to stay going left instead of going right in your career and keep you on track. So today I want to talk to you about a couple of things. Number one, it's the holidays right now. We're all out shopping. You know what drives me nuts is when I'm walking out, let's say I'm at the town center. Everybody is so buried in their own phone, they don't look at somebody else and say, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays or How are you? You can walk by somebody you've known for 20 years and not even know that that person is there. We're buried in our phones. And I think what happens is our ability to communicate effectively with people diminishes because we are cyber people now. You know, I think it's kind of funny. Well, it's not always funny when it happens, but a funny thing is I'll call my wife and she doesn't even answer the phone. But if I text her and say, hey, honey, I need this or what's going on, she responds to me via text. And I think good conversations that could be had nowadays, especially when you're face to face with people, aren't occurring because we're cyber people right now. And I think this happens to our work life as well. The number one distraction at work is your phone or your handheld device. You could be planned to the teeth for the day. You might say, tomorrow's gonna be the best day. You know why? Because today I'm gonna think about what I'm gonna do tomorrow. And I'm gonna lay down these plans. And at 8 o'clock, I'm gonna do this. 9 o'clock, I'm doing this. From 10 to 12, I'm gonna do this. And it's great. And you have all the good intentions in the world. And then what happens? Here it is 8, I'm gearing up. It's 7:45, I got my coffee going and I'm ready to do what I have planned at 8 o'clock. But then I get bing and I look at my phone and there's email. Now, I didn't account for the time that I'm going to waste looking at email. And 90% of the email that comes through the average person's email box is not revenue producing. It's not something that is going to help advance you. It's not business. We look and, oh, there's a friend. Let me do this. Let me check this one. Then your phone rings and it's somebody that you didn't plan. And your best laid plans and intentions are surrendered to cyber world. And it's a sad reality. I see it happen all the day, all the time at work. I'll walk through what we call a big call center, and I'll look, and maybe, let's say I have 100 people in a call center. There's 20 of them, heads down, texting somebody, and it's irrelevant to what we're doing at work. Guys, you're going to hear something a little bit later about situational awareness. We have a military veteran and someone that's going to do a little a contribution to our show today. His name's Lloyd Corselli, and he's a repeat guest. Lloyd's going to talk to you about situational awareness. And I'm going to tell you, if you're out shopping and you're on your phone and you got a bag of gifts that you're bringing to your car and your keys are in your purse or in your back pocket and you're walking out to your car with all this bag of gifts, you have a huge target on your back, folks. You have a target. You are a victim. And Lloyd Corselli is going to tell you something about situational awareness that might just save your holiday. Which brings us, ladies and gentlemen, all you hard workers out there, to our our guest today, and I'm excited to have Charlie Jimerson on the show. Charlie is the founder of Jimerson & Cobb, and he's the managing partner of this law firm that's right here in Jacksonville. Charlie, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Pete, my main man. Great to be with you.
Listen, Jimerson & Cobb, tell us about that, please.
Well, it's we're a full-service business law firm here in Jacksonville. We can pretty much handle any issue that touches a business. We've got good depth of resources and experience with our lawyers. For the past 5 years, had been honored on the Jacksonville Business Journal's 50 Fastest Growing Companies list, the only law firm on the list any of those years. We've been voted statewide best places to work for three or four consecutive years, and I think we've got a really dynamic law firm, which for the past 3 years in a row has been one of the top 100 fastest growing law firms in the entire country, peaking at 26 in 2016.
Outstanding. You know, I do a little research on all my guests before they come. I went out to your website, and I swear, and you just Google up Jimerson & Cobb, you guys have won just about every conceivable award, especially every peer award and every media award that's out there. I mean, it's outstanding.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we've been blessed to receive some accolades. I mean, for whatever those things are worth, happy to have them.
Well, the thing is, you're making your clients happy. You're being recognized for it. I went to your office. You're right in downtown Jacksonville in the Wells Fargo building. And, you know, you walk in, you know, you get the glass that overlooks the beautiful, the river right there downtown. Jacksonville's beautiful. I love, and looking out from that view, I don't think there's a better view than that one right there. But in your office, everybody was high-stepping. Everybody's in a hurry. They greet me, and I say, I'm here to see Mr. Jimerson. I'm like, wow, this is prestigious. You're in a great place, and you're winning the awards. You're doing a great job, and you're surrounding yourself with some pretty sharp-looking people, I'm telling you.
Well, thank you. I mean, we're a white-shoe law firm with a blue-collar mentality. That's for sure. Hard workers.
Right, hard workers. You know, I met you at the JDRF Miracles Gala a couple months ago. And it was a great event. It was wonderful. But Charlie sat at the same table I did. And, you know, we struck up a conversation. And one thing that struck me right away is that you are a very, very good listener. I'm a guy that likes to talk. But you ask me questions. I'm in the employment business. I interview people day in and day out. And I talk on the radio. You know, that's kind of what I do. But it's always good when someone's engaging and someone's listening. I have to think that helps your law firm and you personally and your profession to really understand your clients, right?
Oh, indeed. Yeah. I mean, we have one mouth and two ears, and we speak and listen in that proportion. So you can't be understood unless you gain an understanding.
Right.
So I do think listening is far more valuable of a skill set than speaking.
And I bet in your line of work too, people come in with a perceived issue, and you know, you kind of dig in, you ask questions, and you find out so much more information. This is might be what you think, but here's, you know, what I'm seeing, right? I mean, is that?
Oh, indeed. Yeah. So you've got to, sometimes people have a more dynamic of an issue than they even recognize, and sometimes it's not an issue at all. And so you've got to be able to sift through that. Part of our legal training, it starts with law school, is issue spotting. And mm-hmm. And the only way you spot issues is asking all the right questions, knowing how to navigate through the legal maze and arriving at an ultimate destination, which is proffering a solution that meets the client's needs.
Right, right. You know, number one, thank you for your service, okay? And number two, what I like about Charlie, too, is when he just said he's you know, white-collar firm with a blue-collar mentality, you know, you and I both came up through the enlisted ranks in the military and kind of rose in the business community. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Sure, yeah, it's been a fun one. You know, like you, I've enlisted to serve my country. I'm very proud of that experience, and you know, something that I think to this day defines who I am as an individual and a business person. You know, coming out of high school, I had a kind of a challenging childhood and didn't have a lot of options. Nobody in my family had ever gone to college before. Nobody in my family had even graduated high school conventionally before. So certainly hadn't gone to college or on to law school. So from my position, I needed to some discipline, some guidance. I needed to get out of what I thought was a pretty bad situation, and ultimately enlisted for those reasons, as well as to earn money for college. And the altruistic reasons of serving your country is something I knew that would carry me for the rest of my life. And so I enlisted. I joined the Air Force out of high school. I was a combat meteorologist in the Air Force.
Wow. And the weather looks good enough to get into battle.
That's the gist of it. I mean, there's a little bit more to it, but right. I think that's the gist of it. And I served honorably for 5 years in the Air Force, stationed primarily at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, providing Army support.
Wow, what a great story. That's interesting. So, did they help pay for your college after that? Was it a GI Bill thing or one of those? Or
well, so I in my 5 years, I was able to go from no college credits to I actually obtained my bachelor's degree within a conventional 4 years period while I was an active duty airman in the Air Force.
Can I just say, for anybody that knows the hard worker story, this sounds all too familiar. I'm the only person that's ever graduated from college, and my family, now my niece did, and she's working on her MBA. So I'm really excited and proud of that. Hannah, go Hannah.
Good job,
but that
Hannah.
Was my story, and college wasn't really an option for me. I had to escape my hometown. I joined the Navy, spent 7 years in the Navy, just under seven, 6 years, 9 months, obtained my bachelor's degree while I was in. The military paid 75% of my tuition if I got a C or above.
Yeah, same deal for me.
Right. And then I graduated working full time in the military, which is, it's not your conventional 40 hours, and graduated with a full bachelor's degree. It took me a little longer than 4 years, about five and a half years it took me, but I had no student loan debt. And the military is a great option for folks like you and me.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I've never verified this, but when I graduated, the education director at Pope Air Force Base said that I was the first, in his 30 years, I was the first first-term airman with no college that had gone through from zero to a bachelor's in the first term.
It's amazing what hard work and determination and also perseverance, because, sometimes right in the middle of your plans to take the classes this semester, the military gets in the way or life gets in the way. And sometimes for me, I had to discontinue for a short period of time because, I was on a cruise ship on the Saratoga, I had to discontinue for a short period of time, but to come right back, pick it up and make sure I finished it. It's good. So then you get out and what was next?
Well, so I completed my initial enlistment and right out of the military, I went to law school. I went to law school at the University of Florida, which is...
Go Gators,
absolutely. It was a lifelong dream of mine to be a Gator. I grew up a Gator, and the dream of going to school at the University of Florida was what kept me going in some really challenging times in the military. And so I was able to go to school at Florida and did well enough at Florida to get a pretty good job coming out of law school. And that's what brought me to Jacksonville. And through my career in Jacksonville, I've been able to rise through the legal ranks and have had a really good run at it. I've been really blessed.
Good, good. Now, being a lawyer during the day, you can't shut it off and not be a lawyer. I mean, that has to impact all facets of your life. Does it?
Yeah, I would. Yes, it does. And my wife would probably be best to testify to that. she one of her comments when we're in any level of adult discussion is something of the ilk of okay, turn off lawyer mode, because I immediately just by training revert to cross-examination. it's being a lawyer or being trained to be a lawyer, it gives you a lot of great life skills. I mean, fundamentally what lawyers are, they're problem solvers. So it doesn't matter what the issue is. You bring me an issue, I'm able to diagnose it and more importantly, provide some type of solution. So that's valuable life skill set. And just because it happens in the legal context doesn't mean that it can't be extrapolated to the real world. So I think that that's a good trait and characteristic. Yeah, I think lawyers by nature, if you're a good lawyer, you understand the value of service. Mm-hmm. And service has a universal extrapolation. So you can't be in the professional services industry. My widget is law, you know, whether it's accounting or human resources or you know, staffing or something like that. You still have to understand the concepts of service. And, you know, I've been working jobs since I was 12 years old, you mm-hmm. know, and whether it was bussing tables as a 15-year-old at a fine dining restaurant or the men's associate at TJ Maxx, and, you know, as a 16-year-old, you have to understand concepts of service, and you employ those concepts of service when you're practicing law. I think that the legal field, at least for me, is an outlet to my analytical side of things. Mm-hmm. You can take in data, figure out how that data is applied to a certain given set of facts and circumstances, much like meteorology in that regard. You take in historical data and you use that data to predict an outcome. And that's a lot of what the practice of law really is. It's a very similar skill set.
It's interesting how conceptually so many things, you know, look, I run a recruiting and staffing agency, and so many I look at historical data all the time to help me refine and grow my business and better service my clients by looking at certain patterns and data. Data's awesome. Big data's awesome. I have a lot of big data guys that come on and just say, oh my gosh, the more information you have and the more tweaks and turns to help you steer the ship, the more effective you're going to be. So it's funny how meteorology is going to parallel law.
Yeah, you wouldn't think. I mean, I guess comically, you could say that just makes me a great liar if I was a meteorologist and a lawyer. But I promise you, all our listening audience, I'm a truthful man.
Well, here's one I like to ask folks. What's your favorite word in business?
You know, my favorite word in business is accountability. I think that is the most important word in business. I mean, accountability is a word where we live in a climate where, in my mind, and one of my controlling axioms is that life is all about personal choices, and good or bad, you have to live with your choices. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big proponent of somebody's life or being preordained or destiny or something like that. I think that's hogwash. Mm-hmm. I think your life is comprised of a series of choices, and choice, not chance, determines destiny. So when it comes to accountability, if you make a wrong choice, you need to own that choice, and you need to be at peace with the consequences. And accountability is something where if you're an accountable person, you're able to build trust and you're able to instill confidence in those around you. And for that reason, among many others, I love the word accountability.
Oh, I love it. You know, in my business, we have results that we're accountable to, and we're also accountable to the activities that drive those results. And everything is measurable. You know, you can't just base everything on results and just wait for it to happen, right? The Jaguars don't show up and they just win. They practice all week long on each other, so they're not practicing on their clients. And that is that's an inherent accountability, is to practice and knowing how to do your best when you're on the field or when you're at work.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
All right. Tell me a Charlie Jimerson truism, something that you believe in that nobody else around you believes is attainable.
Well, that's a good question, Pete. I think that a buzzword of our generation is this concept of work-life balance, and any scholarly article you'll read is greatly skeptical of that it's ever elusive. And any high-performing executive, you go to any conference that's just a glorified professional therapy session on some of these things, and that's a regular, consistent point of discussion is achieving that balance to have your requisite mental and physical health as well as optimal professional performance. The conclusion that it's reached by many when it comes to that concept is that it's unattainable.
I see that happen. I see a lot of people just kind of, you're just tilted one way or the other. Either you're too focused on your personal life and your job suffers, or you're so focused on your work that you run yourself into the ground and your family life dissolves.
Yeah. So a truism that I believe in a very convicted manner is that it is greatly attainable. But the problem that with that work-life balance being attainable is that people just don't know how to get there. They don't know the mechanics of how to make it attainable. So first, in my mind, work-life balance, you have to be organized, exceptionally organized, and you have to be a prolific planner. So to it starts
even
with...
Even on the personal side, too?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When people talk about what's their priorities in life, do you hear them first lead with work or something other than family? Most of the time, the only acceptable answer is really family, right? So why in the heck would you make your priority family and not plan specifically to spend time, certain devoted times to your family? So one of the things that I do, for example, at year end, I fill out a business plan every year, and as do all the lawyers at our firm, and we ask ourselves, and the question I ask is, write your perfect professional day from the moment you wake up till the moment you go to bed. And that gets people to think about what they have to do to make every day their perfect day.
And can I, just for one second, I want to interject. Guys, when I talk about getting your notepad ready or your thumbs ready on your handheld device, listen to what Charlie just said. Write down your perfect business day from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And why, Charlie, explain that again? Because
what it does is it's geared towards promoting balance. If it enables you to prioritize what's most important in your life. So just because on any given work week you've got fires that you've got to put out, it doesn't mean that you can't try to pre-script that. So from hours of X to Y, these are your work times, and this is the amount of professional contribution. And then from, you know, we'll just use any given workday schedule. So from, you know, 8 to 5, 8 to 6, these are the times, allocated times, where I'm going to put into work. And then from 6 to 7, I'm going to perhaps put into my personal time of working out. And then from 7 to 9, I'm going to put into my family time. And then from 9 to 10, I'm going to put into my marriage. And then from 10 to 11, if I opt to stay up and work that late, I'm going to whip open the laptop again. And then you calculate the hours. And if the hours are parallel with what your priorities are, well, now you've got scheduled balance in your life.
Outstanding.
But here's where the crux is, though, Pete, and here's where people miss out on obtaining work-life balance. There's two other prongs to it that people don't often account for. One is communicating. So inevitably, that schedule that you could plan so meticulously for, it's not going to work out that way every day. And so so you're going to disappoint somebody, mm-hmm. and you're not going to be able to always live your day according to the ideal perfect day or your priorities. But you got to communicate. You got to, the person you're disappointing or the entity or whatever the circumstance, if you take from one, you got to give back to it later on at some point in time. And then furthermore, the last prong, which I submit is just as important as the planning prong, is you have to be a self-disciplined person in order to execute that plan. So you've got a plan. You've got a plan that incorporates balance and that work-life balance that's ever so elusive, but you got to be disciplined in the way that you execute it. You got to focus on it, and you got to be consistent. You got to do it every day, and that's how balance is achieved.
That is so well said. And you know, one of the great things, and our listeners know that, our podcast, you can listen to this anytime. So you'll be able to, you know, you take your notes, but you'll be able to listen to how, and this is Charlie, I mean, I guarantee you his schedule is probably busier than yours, and he's attaining work-life balance, okay? But it doesn't happen by accident. It's planned out. It's mapped out. He communicates, and I just want to be clear. You guys can listen to that, listen to it again, but we also transcribe it. So if you're a reader, you'll be able to read that. Oh, Charlie, that music tells us we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to need to take a break, but stay where you're at. I need you to come back with it. We got some fun stuff ahead of us. Guys, hard workers, you're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. You're on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Welcome back, all you hard workers, on Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy. We're fortunate enough to have our guest. If you heard the first part of this show, the first half hour, this is a fantastic show. We have Charlie Jimerson of Jimerson & Cobb, great prestigious law firm right here in town, specializing in all facets of business law. Now, Charlie, are you ready to play lightning round?
Yeah, man, hit me up.
Okay. True or false, Dexy's Midnight Runners sang Hungry Like the Wolf?
No, they're Come On Irene.
Yeah.
False. Yeah. Eileen. Come On Eileen.
Come
yeah,
On
Irene.
Irene is right.
Come On Eileen.
And great, Hungry great Like jam. The Wolf was?
Duran Duran.
Oh, good, yeah. Good.
Of course.
Josh, you want to play against him on this? Josh, no. Oh, Josh says no. He's out because he knows he's got nothing for that. What is the best 90s jam
Josh
of all
don't
time?
Want that smoke.
He's out. He's out. Best 90s jam of all time.
Let's see. I'm going to go Outfield, Your Love by Outfield. A little.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. There's so many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. Hey guys, that just happened. All right, let's see. You walk out of an establishment on the ground, you pick up a lottery ticket. You just won $10 million. What do you do first?
Well, the same thing I did when I made my first $1 million, which is get my butt right back to work the next day. Yeah, same thing any real millionaire does.
Right answer. Right answer. Josh, you ready? Are you going to jump in? Come on. Come on. You tell me if you're in. You in?
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Josh.
All right. Josh, what's the right age to get married? You better say how old you were when you got married.
I was
sir.
20. How old was I when I got married? 2014, 4 years ago. I was 26. All 26 right. is the perfect age to get married.
26 yeah, is the
exactly.
perfect age.
Love you, baby. The only right answer, Josh.
What's the right age?
You know, I can give like, I got married at 30, what was it, 31? 30, 31? But yep. I mean, to me, it's the right age to get married is whenever you're Mr. Right. It's not necessarily when you meet Mrs. Right, because you can't be a good spouse until you're well content of who you are as an individual.
Yep. Agreed. Well said. All right. What's the last gift you gave somebody? This goes to Josh.
I gave myself a smartwatch.
Yeah. did you thank yourself?
Oh, I was very pleased with myself. Yes.
Okay. Charlie, how tall is Shaquille O'Neal?
Shaq is, I would say 7 or 7'1", depends on which listing service.
I've seen as high as 7'2".
Okay. Well, how tall, Josh, then? Let's see you. How tall is Andre the Giant?
Under that, 7 foot even.
Do you know?
I have no idea.
I'll put Andre at 7'4".
He was listed as 7'4", people say he was around 6'11", or just under 7 feet.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, who wins in a fight, Andre or Shaq?
That would be, it depends on their age, during their age. I would give Shaq the edge before, you know, Andre's dead. We know he died. But if you ever saw him in his final stages, he couldn't even bend his knees.
Right.
And when he did, he fought Hulk Hogan. You know, nobody ever beat Andre the Giant. And then one of the last matches, he fights Hulk Hogan. And all it was he got out there and he hugged Hulk Hogan the whole time, and Hogan just basically held him up, and that was
I don't know if you ever saw the story of that SummerSlam where Andre, the big match would put Hogan on the map, but Andre wasn't supposed to get body slammed during that match, and because his back was so bad,
mm-hmm.
but he whispered into Hogan's ear in the middle of the match, or at the end of the match, he said slam. And Hogan picked him up and slammed him. And the way the story's told is that was like a debilitating slam for Andre, but he kind of sacrificed it for the good of the team.
See that? That's a great story. And if you ever watch Princess Bride, my way is unsportsmanlike, Vincent. Have you guys watched Princess Bride?
Of course, yeah,
absolutely. All time.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable. All right, you know this, Charlie. You listen to the show. I like asking guests. Probably one of the things is we're winding down right now. You know, you didn't say when you were 12 years old, I don't think you did, you know what, I'm going to grow up and run one of the most prestigious law firms in Jacksonville, Florida. You know, our career's a journey and a destination, but you've arrived at a good spot. Okay, you've done this, you've earned it, you've worked hard. But what advice would you give your younger self? Let's say go back to maybe 21 years old or something. Maybe you're an airman or in the service. You know, what advice would you give yourself?
Well, I do listen to the show, and I've heard you ask that question before, and so I know that that's something that's of importance to your readership or to your listeners. I guess readers too, since you said transcribe.
Yeah, I'll transcribe. They read it too.
The first thing that came to my head was only positive words of encouragement, because I'm often my own toughest critic. I'm hardest on myself, and I know what that 20-year-old Charlie was really hard on himself, and he was trying to break the chains of things that had held down my family for what were probably generations. And I am so blessed to have I have a great life right now. I wouldn't change a single thing about my life, and I would have given young Charlie positive words of encouragement to just keep working, work your tail off, because it is all worth it in the end. That would be superficially, but you know, there's some principles I could impart on that for anybody who's coming up the ranks and they're looking for some inspiration. And it's that, you know, really invest in yourself. Make sure you're your best version of yourself, and you will be a happy human being. And a happy human being is an energy giver, and it makes you infectious, and people want to be around you, and they want to help you, and they want to get all the things that you want to get in life. They want to help you get those things. And I'm sure I'll butcher this quote, but I remember reading a quote some point in time where the best way to get what you want in life is to help as many people that you know get what they want in life. And that's what, if you're a young person coming up, that you can focus on helping the people around you get as much as they can in service to others, you'll be a happy, content person. You know, when it comes to happiness, I fully believe that you exclusively are in control of your own happiness. You can make a decision to be happy in your life. I know that there are circumstances which affect that, but the way that you react to those circumstances is a matter of choice. And I would have also told 20-year-old Charlie that, and to not sweat the small stuff, because there's great things around the corner for you, and you can do it. Just keep pushing.
Great advice. Charlie, you know, as we kind of wind down now, just tell us a little bit more about your law firm, how people can learn more, and how they can reach you.
Well, yeah. So like I said, full service business law firm. And when you think of Jimerson Cobb, I want you to just think about we're a firm that can handle any issue that touches a business. So all of you are some way tangentially or otherwise personally integrated into your businesses. If you need counsel, we can probably meet most of your needs. By way of contacting me, you can go onto our website, jimersoncobb.com. My profile's there. You can email me or call me based on my contact info there.
Outstanding. And I'm going to ask you one final question, and I know you know the answer to it. Who is the best UFC fighter of all time?
All time. Oh, that's a tough one.
It's going to be hard to run away from Cormier. I'm just going to say that.
It is, but the only right answer, so Cormier would be my sentimental favorite, but you can't say Cormier without saying that absurd knucklehead John Jones.
I knew.
And so John Jones is the best, and it hurts my heart to say that because I don't care for the guy, but he's the best.
Did you have a favorite
is.
To watch?
You know, I'm so cyclical in that regard. I mean, I'm kind of early McGregor was so fun to watch before he became so over the top. There's certain style matchups. It's hard not to root for a guy like DC. I love DC because he's just an ambassador of the sport. You know, Silva with his crazy video game moves has always been fun. Chuck Liddell back in the day with knockout power was pretty amazing. You know, I'm sure I'm missing 5 to 10 different great guys.
Help me because I'm thinking of his name. He fought at a lower weight class. Well, 180 he used to get down. Then he bumped up to 205 and he knocked everybody out. He would just come in. Rumble.
Rumble Johnson.
Anthony Rumble. He was my favorite fighter to watch because the fight could end in one punch.
Yeah, that right hand is one of the best in UFC history. I mean, him and Henderson and even Tyrone Woodley has a pretty solid right now.
Amazing fighter.
But those three have of explosive fast twitch knockout power.
Right. Charlie, you enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and thank you for coming on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Pleasure's all mine, brother.
Well, I teased at the beginning of the show that Lloyd Curselli was going to talk to us about situational awareness, and this is some things that just might save your holiday, might save your Christmas if you're out and about, is just being aware. Now, Lloyd Curselli is a military veteran. He was with the special police when he was in the service. I also know that he wears like a 6-degree black belt in karate, and he's old world karate. I mean, he goes to Okinawa and trains with the senseis and all this. He knows his stuff, and if you look at him, you know, I don't think he needs situational awareness. You just walk by Lloyd and people know his situation and stay the heck away from him. But Lloyd, you know what? Take it away. Tell us about situational awareness.
Thanks, Pete. Happy to be back on, man. So this morning, I'm going to give you some tips on how to stay safe while doing your holiday shopping. It's super important to always maintain your situational awareness, especially during the holidays when there are so many distractions around us. And believe me, I know about distractions. I have like permanent ADD, so it's really hard to like focus and pay attention to what you're doing. But you know, you go to the mall, the lights, the crowds, the music, the guy from Hickory Farms and his free cheese plate samples. I mean, it's really, really easy to lose track of your surroundings. So the first thing I'm gonna tell you is park under a light. Criminals hate lights because it exposes them, right? So you can see what they're up to. My dad always gave me this advice, which I pretty much ignored until my car was broken into one night when I was a kid. They stole my favorite Huey Lewis tape, and I learned my lesson, unfortunately. So, second, never cross between cars. Like many people, I always seem to forget which row I parked in, and taking that shortcut between cars puts you right where criminals want you. They'll wait between cars for an unsuspecting victim and grab your purse, the fruitcake you bought for that relative you don't really like, or worse, they'll attack you personally. So take the extra time to walk back out to where you started and go to your row. It's not even a bad idea to take a picture of the sign that tells you what row you parked in. And I know many of you who go down to Disney or Universal Studios learn this the hard way. So take that picture and then, you know, after your hours of fighting crowds, you won't forget where you parked. Speaking of rows, always walk in the middle of the row. I know that drives people crazy with cars trying to find parking spots, but that way, if a criminal's hiding between cars, it gives you more time to react if they rush out. If you're hugging the cars, it's simply a snatch and grab of you or your belongings. Also, always lock your car, and if you forget, make sure you check the back seat before getting in. I've heard all kinds of stories of criminals getting into unlocked vehicles and waiting in the back seat for their vehicle to get in and strike. I know this is something that a lot of us have seen in movies, and it's just kind of a common sense thing. But again, back to the distractions. When you're not paying attention, you forget to do things. And then the last one, this is the biggest one of all. Get your face out of the phone. How many times you go down to the mall or to a store and you see people with their faces buried in that phone? It's like they're so engrossed in how many people like that social media post, an alien spaceship could land right next to them and they probably wouldn't see it. It's not a bad idea to hold on to your phone in the event that you need to call for help, but you can wait to see Cardi B's latest Snapchat until at least you're in the safety of your locked car. So follow those things, and hopefully you will not become a victim during the holidays or at any other time during the year. So, Pete, I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and appreciate the opportunity and hope to talk to you sometime in 2019. Take care, man.
And you take care, man, too. Thank you, Lloyd. I'm going to tell you, that's just great information. And guys, I mean, take it to heart, because he's putting that information out there to help you, taking time out of his busy schedule. And we appreciate you, Lloyd. We're going to have you contribute again. And it's not going to be so long in between like we did on this one. It's taken me too long to get you back on the show, and I appreciate your contributions each and every time. Now, the next part of my show is one of my favorites. And this is where we have Boston Danny, and he's going to give us our Boston update that we need. But guys, Denny's. Boston Danny gives shout-outs if it's somebody's birthday, you have a wedding anniversary, you have, you know, some kind of event in your life, and you want a special Boston Danny shout-out, just email me, pete@petethejobguy.com, and you can go to my website, petethejobguy.com, and there's even a section right there for shout-outs for Danny, Danny Mullen, Boston Danny. Now, Danny Mullen, take it away with our Boston update.
Hello, Jacksonville. Back at you this week with a little Boston slang so you can understand and feel at home if you ever visit our gorgeous town. So let's talk about spas. It's a pizzeria, a sandwich shop, and a convenience store all rolled into one. A true Bostonian might suggest that you get supper at the town spa. Another one is our parlor. It's also known as a living room. And it's the same thing with the cellar. It's basically your basement. So we have a building in Boston, the Dorothy Hancock. It has a light tower that can be seen from most vantage points in town, and it tells us the weather. There's a poem to help us remember it. Steady blue means a clear view. Flashing blue, clouds are due. Steady red, rain ahead. And flashing red, snow instead. And when the Red Sox are playing during the summer, a flashing red means that the game has been canceled due to rain. So that's a plus when you're planning to go out to the spa for dinner. Also unique Boston terms. Dinner is lunch and supper is the evening meal. Also, Bostonian sports fans are the most spoiled in America, but we'll never admit it. Forget the curse of the Bambino. The Red Sox have won more real World Series in the last 10 years than any other major league team. So there's no more pity parties to go with our tea party. And I haven't even mentioned the fact that the Patriots have delivered 5 AFC championships and 3 Super Bowls to Boston during essentially the same span of time. Oh, and lest I forget, the Bruins also delivered a Stanley Cup championship a few years back. So it's hard to take the rest of the country's whining when we have been celebrating major sports championships basically every other year for the last 12. No more miserable 90s when we used to be lovable losers. A city of passionate fans who really knew and supported our teams no matter what. Now we are winners, but enough said. So here's a shout out to Albert J. Happy 21st birthday, have a wicked piss a day, and have pity on your 20-year-old pals. I love the show and all the good advice and wisdom you use in pot. Brothers and sisters in FLA, enjoy your Sunday. Bye-bye.
And once again, thank you very much, Danny Mullen, a guy that I went to boot camp with, a guy that I met at the airport 30-some-odd years ago, probably 34 years ago, I don't know, whatever, 1984 or something like that, I think it was. And we've been friends ever since. Lifelong friends, that's another gift that the military gives you. Thank you for your service, Danny. Thank you for your weekly contribution to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Now, guys, I want to talk to you about a little something. Here it is, as we're nearing Christmas, I want to tell you the origin of Pete the Job Guy. If you don't know the story, and I'm not talking about my life story, whether I was born and all that stuff, but you know, it was many years ago, and I got to think it was probably 9-10 years ago, I got a call from a gentleman named Mark Kay, who, you know, you guys, everybody knows who Mark Kay is. You know him from this station. You know him from our sister station, WAPE 95.1. And Mark is a celebrity is what he is. But he hosts always the number one rated show. And Mark, I got a call out of nowhere by Mark Kay. And I don't know if I'm getting spoofed or what's happening here. But Mark called me up and asked me to come on his show as a guest. And you know, while we were talking, he explained that on the air, he was asking all the listeners, you know, what do you want for Christmas? You know, if you could have anything for Christmas, what do you want? And people called in and they wrote in and they said, Mark, what I really need for Christmas is a job. He said he got so many of these requests. Yeah, I need a job. I've been out of work for 6 months or longer. I need help finding a job. And Mark asked me if I could come on and maybe give some tips on how people can land a job. As you know, I'm a career expert. I've been a recruiter for almost 20 years, and I place people and I find them jobs, and I help companies by finding talent as well. So I came on the show, and Mark asked me to talk about giving resume tips and the structured interview process, helping people. And I did, and he asked me some questions, and I answered them. And then, you know, what I thought was we were done, he said, would you mind staying when we're going to take a break? He said, would you mind staying and maybe taking some calls, you know, after the break? And I said, sure, I'm happy to do that. So Mark, you know, said, hey, if you're interested in talk to Pete, the job guy, he'll give you some tips live on the air. So we did. We had callers come in, call in, and they had all kinds of unique questions, and they had unique circumstances. And I gave advice. And when I give advice, sometimes it doesn't feel good because nobody pays me for my opinion. You know, one person called and said, I've been out of work for 6 months. When we talked about why he's been out of work and not able to find a job, well, you know, he wasn't giving it his full effort. I said, you're unemployed because you choose to be unemployed. Okay, I can tell you how to get a job, but I can't make you, you know. And we structured things and got it together to help him find a job. What we did, then all of a sudden people started sending me resumes left and right, and I started to put people to work. And then Mark had me back, and we were giving people job offers live on the air. It was wonderful. It was exciting. And I loved it. I was hooked and said, you know, one day I want to have a radio show and I want to be able to do that again. Well, the whole Pete the Job Guy thing, Mark, when I came on, he says, what's your last name? I said, my name's Pete Langlois. And he says, okay, Pete Langlois. I said, it's Pete Langlois. And he goes, I'm going to call you Pete the Job Guy. That's it. That was it. He called me Pete the Job Guy and had me on for quite a few consecutive weeks. And we found jobs for his listeners. He did it. Mark was the guy. He masterminded this, put it together. And I have to say, I owe Mark a debt of gratitude because I really enjoy doing this. And that's one of the greatest things about my profession. Is I help people. I help people find jobs. I help find them work and create a revenue stream for their household so that they can pay the bills and put food on the table. You know, I help people when they're in vulnerable situations in their lives, right? You need money. And I help folks like that, whether it's a temporary assignment. You know, sometimes people are looking for the job, but I can help put them in a job so they can sustain until they find the job. You know, there's a lot of different ways we help people. I help people, you know, find a job that makes them more money or is closer to home or gives them the work-life balance that Charlie Jimerson just talked about here with us today. I help people. And the greatest thing about being a recruiter, and I'll tell you, if you've ever thought about being a recruiter, it's a noble profession. And it also can be a very lucrative one. You see, the more people I help, the more money I make. And there's no shame in life in cashing a big check. I enjoy doing that, so I try to help as many people as I can. Folks, if you've considered being a professional recruiter, you know, a lot of times people get into, let's say, accounting, for instance. They're an accountant, and people say, you know what, you should get into sales, you know, because, you know, some accountants, you know, hey, I don't mind saying it. Some accountants talk better to their shoes than they do the person across from them. That's just the way it is, okay? You want to send me hate mail, send me hate mail. But sometimes it's what we call an accidental accountant. You have that sales personality, and you're outgoing, and you might be more entrepreneurial than what your training has for you or your career path. Call me, Pete the Job Guy, 904-713-2550. I'm hiring. I will train you on how to be a recruiter. I will train you on how to find the companies that are looking for talent. I will train you how to help as many people as humanly possible in our business segments. And I help accounting and finance professionals and technology professionals. My company, S&I Companies, a proud member of GEE Group, we have all different specialties. We have administrative, clerical, marketing, HR. We have banking. And our S&I family has S&I Banking, S&I Technology, run by Ben Cusson right here in town. Guys, we like putting people to work. go to Pete the Job Guy. Send me an email, pete@petethejobguy.com, or call me at my office, 904-713-2550, and I'm happy to help you. You have just listened to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy. Now go out there and get them this week, hard workers.